Good evening, everyone, and welcome along to Bible class tonight. We've got our brother David Herman back with us, and his subject is second night on prayer, and tonight's topic is powerful prayer. So the reading is Philippians 4, verse 4 to 13. So we'll hand over to brother David on the subject of powerful prayer.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming back tonight. I appreciate that. It's a good sign when there's an audience. I was doing a bit of going over things this afternoon, and I thought, I've got at least four nights' worth of stuff here. Fortunately, tonight I want to go fairly quickly through probably what's basics, but just things that I think we ought to be reminded of. And it'll be basically lots of questions. I'm hoping you'll keep your answers nice and concise. If they're short enough and we don't have a roaming mic, I'll just quickly repeat them for anybody who's listening online. And we'll see how far we can get. Quick reminder, more than anything, I just want to encourage you to pray more and more and more and be aware of just how much we need God. We are totally dependent on him, and he ought to be the one we automatically go to with every possible concern that we have. But let's start off with this question that's on the screen. And this is a fairly quick one. Who is prayer for? And I'm hoping for three answers. So, yep.
Us and God.
Us and God. There's two answers out of the three. Okay. So, God benefits. David said, may my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. God loves to receive our praise. And we benefit, right? Us. In Hebrews it says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Who else benefits?
Others.
Okay, the people we pray for. And we're going to spend a bit of time on that later on. So regular prayer basically builds our relationship with God. I don't know if you've noticed, but if you actually want a relationship with someone, you need to talk to them. Have you noticed that? It really makes a difference. And the more you talk to them and the more you hear from them, the more you get to know them. And the same is true in our relationship with God. In fact, Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And we'd all agree there is no more important person in the universe to know than God. So prayer is going to be a crucial part of our lives. In fact, no relationship works very well when we don't talk together. I've worked out, after years of marriage, that if I don't tell my wife every day that I love her, that things don't go very well. I am a bit slow, and it does happen, but I can always tell that something is not quite right, and then it doesn't take me too long before I realise, I haven't told her I loved her today or given her a kiss this morning or whatever. Just raced off to work or done something. It's very rare though, isn't it, Lynette? Oh, she's not going to answer that one. See, God doesn't just want us to talk to him when we're in desperate need. He wants us to actually relate to him as a person, the most important person in the universe. So we should talk to him at least as often as we talk to our friends. Is that a reasonable thing to say? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Just to follow on from the idea of telling your wife that you love her, when was the last time you told God that you love him? Has anybody ever done that? He wants to know that we love him. I think prayer takes us from being a spectator in the spiritual life to being a participant in the spiritual life. So it is absolutely crucial. And we're ready to move on to our next point already. Does prayer make a difference? You can all tell me the answer to that. Yes. Jesus said, all things are possible for the one who believes. And in Ephesians it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine, according to the power that's working within us, and so on, it goes on. So he is immeasurably able to do more than we can even imagine. So if you can imagine something and it's a need and you take it to God, God is able to do that for you. I'm not saying he always will, and we'll get to that later, but nothing should be impossible to us when we have faith, Jesus said. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, James says. Hezekiah got an extra 15 years of life even after God said, no, you're going to die. That was a powerful, effective prayer. He didn't have to badger God or promise anything to God. He just told him how he felt and prayed. Prayer makes a difference because God cares for his children. Now, that doesn't mean you should treat him like a divine vending machine. You know, you put in your money and you get out what you want. It's not like that, because God is a father and he cares to bring us good things. Just as an illustration, anybody know the story of King Asa? Come on, everybody knows a little bit about that, don't they? No one's going to have a go?
Died with diseased feet.
Died with diseased feet. Okay. So, God was angry about his response to that. So you better fill out the story, Sam.
That's it, that's all I know.
Okay. He visited the doctors, but who didn't he talk to? He didn't talk to God about it, and God was angry with him. He grew steadily worse, but he had only consulted the physicians. It wasn't actually the first time he didn't seek God's help. In his 36th year as king, Israel, the northern tribes, attacked Judah and Asa, paid the king of Syria to attack his enemy instead of asking God for help. Now, there's a powerful lesson in that. What's the lesson we get from the life of Asa and God's anger at him not praying about his crook leg?
We should be praying about all things.
We should pray about everything. If it's enough to concern us, it's enough to take to God. We also get a bit more from the bit about paying another king. What is it about what we pray for? It's probably not a well-worded question. What was wrong with them going off and forming an alliance?
Because he could have just gone to God.
He should have gone to God, shouldn't he? Let's broaden that out. What's the message for us about that?
Often we don't make God our first port of call.
Yep. Did you all hear that? He's got to be our first port of call. Not down the line or last resort. And for me, the takeaway message is that God wants us to go to him to provide the solutions. He does not like it when we try and solve our own problems. Why is it not a good idea for us to solve our own problems? Remembering the key point last week, 2 weeks ago, sorry.
We don't know what's best.
Yep, because we are just what? Toddlers. Do you remember that? We are God's children. How capable are we? What age are we? We are just 2 or 3 years old. We haven't a clue. We can't manage life. We can't manage our own life. God wants to solve our problems. He wants us to keep on turning to him, not relying on our own solutions. New question. No, I think we've covered that one. Sorry, I've jumped ahead. So let's put up the next question. Why should we be grateful for unanswered prayer?
Because it's not God's will.
Okay. So why does that make it for us? Does that mean we should be happy about that?
Because it's not what God wants for us. It's not good for us.
It's not good for us. Isn't that great? God won't give us things that are not good for us. That's really wonderful. A lot of people complain about not having their prayers answered. And I know there are some people that have actually turned away from God for that very reason. But it's a great thing. God is very discerning and he only will do what is good for us. It's a wonderful thing. There's some more to that. Why else might God not want to give an answer to our prayers or give us what we wanted?
He's also thinking about the long term.
Exactly.
So it might seem like it's a good thing for us in the short term. Oh. Just think about here.
Have you been reading my notes?
No.
You're doing very well tonight. Okay. Sorry. So we don't see the big picture. He knows so much more than we do. So therefore, we need to be accepting of God's choices. God wants us to value him rather than just what he gives us. So it's not a case of, oh, just expect always to receive exactly what we've asked for. And often he asks us to wait. You know, there's a lot in the Old Testament about waiting for God. Pretty obvious question, but why does God make us wait? To teach us patience. What else?
Gives us time to think.
Okay, yeah, forces us to think about it, Ben.
Well, often it's that third component, it's others.
Yeah.
To give others opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
God just gave us everything we asked for. There's not an opportunity for others to step in.
That's right. And it may just simply not be good timing. God may have other people involved in this, that it's not just as simple as we think. So, yeah, we should even be grateful when God doesn't give us what we ask for. And I've only put the next question in because Ben reminded me of something I said 9 years ago. Very short question. And I'll even let Ben answer it if you like.
I'll be what?
Leave us to wait for that. Which would be the surprise.
How does God hear us? How does he know what we've even asked for silently?
He made us. He made our brains, ears, mouth.
Yeah.
He knows what's going on.
He knows everything. He knows our thoughts.
Before we even think about it, he knows.
Okay. You'll probably never guess what I'm referring to. Pardon?
He knows what's in our hearts.
That's really important. It's good to remember that God always knows what's genuinely in our hearts, and that's going to be significant to other things we talk about. You don't want to have a go, Ben?
I can give a hint. So you've got to think a bit more laterally. Where is God?
There's the question. Where is God?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Okay. Specifically, the Bible says, or God says, "Do I not fill heaven and earth?" declares the Lord. Now, that's still not making it totally clear. But what I said 9 years ago that Ben reminded me that he remembered was that almost everything in the universe is empty space. Most of what is up here is empty space. Now, I mean specifically all the atoms. Most of the atoms, no, all of the atoms, have huge gaps between the particles. You've got the nucleus with the protons and the neutrons, and you've got electrons flying around. But if you actually compressed all of the Earth and removed all of the empty space, you could squeeze it into a 10-litre bucket. Did you realise that? And, of course, space between the galaxies is all empty. And God fills the space within every atom of your body. He fills heaven and earth. So, of course, God knows what we're thinking. He interprets everything that's going on inside us and hears what we even say to ourselves. So thanks for that, Ben. Let's move on. Powerful prayer. Now, we have to be careful with this term because there's no power in our words specifically. What's the power in prayer altogether? God's power. isn't it? Is that what you were saying and thinking? The only power that makes prayer powerful is God's power. It's not because we say powerful words or that we can twist God's arm or make something more successful, right, because of the way we pray. God loves to give good gifts to his children. Just before we get into the detail of what we can make a difference with, let's just focus about on for a few minutes on Jesus' prayer, what's called the Lord's Prayer. It's very simple, and yet it's taught to us as a simple, effective prayer. So what do we address first? God is our Father. Get our perspective and relation to God right. All right, then what do we move on to?
Praise.
Hallowed be thy name. What else do we talk about?
Future.
Pardon?
His future promise.
Yep, his future promise. The kingdom's going to come. Wonderful. What else?
That's in his control.
Yep. God's will be done. It's all about God so far. Start focusing on God. It's all very simple, very short, and then we begin to look at things that we want, our daily and spiritual needs. A lot of people might find this difficult to comprehend, but one of the things I like to impress upon people is that a real relationship with God begins with caring about how God feels. When we just go about our way doing the right things and forget about desiring to spend time with God or pleasing him, we get very self-focused. And I think Jesus is making clear to us that we begin by appreciating him, worshipping him, before we think about ourselves and our own needs. So we give glory to him and think about what he wants. And then we move on to what things we would like to pray for. I think Jesus teaches with that simple prayer that we can be very specific. We can be very concise. It doesn't have to be long. It should be in plain language, even in public prayer. I don't believe God likes flowery prayers because I think they draw attention to us and not to him. But I do want us to consider what can help make our prayers more effective. So my question is, what aspects of how we pray increase the likelihood that we will receive what we've prayed for? There's quite a few answers to this, so let's see how we go.
I align with his purpose.
Yes. If we ask for what is God's will, he will want to give it to us. That's really significant. If we can work out and be sure that we are praying for something we know God wants for us, we can be absolutely assured that God will give us that.
Also not considering our own needs, but maybe others' needs in our prayer. A compassionate prayer.
Yep. Can I save that for next time or maybe later, depending on how much we get through? So we'll talk about that. In fact, maybe later tonight. I've just got to keep check of these. Right. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things I think of.
Well, James says fervency is a key ingredient.
Yep. Okay. Okay, fervency. I haven't got a specific quote on that one, but anyway.
So,
genuine. He wants us to be genuine.
Yep, and not give up.
Yep. That's an extra one, okay? Perseverance. There's a lot of parables about perseverance in prayer. Jesus said we are to keep on asking. I know he says ask, knock, seek and knock, but the true tense means go on asking, go on knocking, go on seeking. Right, and the door will be open to you. So persistence is important. Like parents, if our kids keep on asking us over and over again, we realise they really do want that and take it seriously, so we're more likely to give them What else?
Our belief that God will hear our prayer and will answer it.
Yep.
Prayers of a righteous man are much.
Right. So we've got to have faith. No point in going to God if we don't actually have faith.
There's a couple of examples in the Bible where if it be your will, it be done. So in a sense, the petition can be made, but you can say, well, but if it's your will, then it be done, otherwise, you know, I'll just ask.
Yep. I'm just going to drop back a second to the previous answer. Jesus said, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So asking in God's will, 1 John 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What else?
Well, accepting the answer.
Pardon?
Accepting the answer.
Ah, sorry, right up the back. Jenny, sorry. Accepting the answer. What do you mean by that? Sorry?
I mean that if it's not what you thought.
Oh, accepting God's answer, even if it's a no. Okay, yes. God wants us to accept what he wants. Anything else?
Philippians 4 verse 6 says it should be coupled with thanksgiving.
That's true. We're going to spend a bit of time maybe later tonight or next week on that one too. By the way, just in passing, what's the word pray literally mean in English?
Just seek, ask, seek.
It means just ask. They used to say, I pray you do this or whatever. Now, prayer is actually broader than that, and I'm hoping to look at other types of aspects of what we consider within prayer in the future, if we get a chance. So,
living a life consistent with our prayer as well.
Absolutely, yes.
Mercy, and we're not going to show mercy to other people.
Yep. That's going to come up again too. So, yeah, living the right kind of life. I'm going to drop in some quick ones. If we ask for what God promises to give us, then we can be guaranteed we'll receive it. It's a really good way to actually make sure you get what you pray for. There are promises that God promises to give us if we just ask him. For instance, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Dead certain. Really positive statement. In contrast, if we don't pray with the right motives, then we probably won't receive it. James, who said a lot about prayer, said, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Okay, what kind of things can we pray for? This is a tricky question.
Strength.
This is, probably has hundreds of things in there. This probably should be cut very short. Have I jumped? Oh, yeah, jumped in there. Let's go back a bit. Oops. Here we go.
Well, one of the things we can ask is instead of asking God to bless our work, pray that we can, like Steve said, that we can do the work that he would bless.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to leave that one there, I think, because it's a bit too open-ended.
So I guess it's the clarity and insight as well as wisdom.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just checking what I should skip. Biblically, this, let's make it very specific. What things tend to be prayed about in Scripture? In the New Testament, I'm thinking particularly.
Healing.
Okay, yes, that's a personal need.
Israel,
yes. Probably lots of prayer about that at the moment.
Kingdom to come.
Kingdom to come, yeah. Yes. Yep.
Pray for our enemies.
Yep.
Food.
Okay. There's not so many of that. Yes. But that's the only one I can find in the New Testament. I'm not saying it's wrong. I did a little study on Paul's prayers. What do you think Paul prayed for?
Peace.
in the New Testament?
We often pray for his brothers and sisters.
Brothers and sisters, yep.
Preaching the gospel.
Preaching the gospel, yeah. He prayed. I can't find a single thing where he prayed for himself and his own personal needs.
Except
the thorn in the flesh, if you think that's a personal need. It's potentially a hindrance to his preaching. So that one, because we don't know exactly what it was, that's the only slight potential exception.
Well, now, say that the reason he wasn't given that relief was so that he would not become again.
That's right.
Yeah.
He wouldn't get puffed up, yes. Now, I don't want to take that too far, but I believe that we should be focused on spiritual matters as the highest priority or a considerable priority. Does that mean we shouldn't pray about personal needs? Well, it depends on what they are. I do know of one or two people who go into a shopping centre praying for a car parking space close to the door. I have a problem with that.
Paul seems to pray for collective needs. So like in the shipwreck when he gave thanks for bread and shared it with everyone.
Yep. So God wants us to focus on big things, but I'm sure that he does actually give answers for personal things, particularly when it's significant. I might just give a strange example.
Don't there's a thing in the Bible about this statement. Be careful what you wish for because God might give it to you. So an example, if you pray for the car park that's close, so you know your shopping's easy, well, if you're not getting the exercise, be careful what you wish for because that might have consequences. If we want something desperately enough, I think God clearly will oblige us, but we need to be careful because it might not be in our best interest what we're asking for,
yeah.
But God will still give it to us.
Sometimes God isn't.
Why not?
Yeah, he may or may not.
Be careful what we wish for.
Yeah.
Because we might get that.
I guess what I'm trying to say is let's not forget that prayer is really accessing the spiritual life and we need to make that a big focus and not let our prayers be dominated just with things we personally want. Unless they are genuine, beneficial things.
Now, it goes back to the point that God's interested in again.
Yeah. His long-term perspective is to have us with him for eternity. So he wants us to focus on things that will help us. Now I'm going to give you a little exception to that. This is a long time ago, and Lynette will remember the circumstances, but one time we had lunch after the meeting on a Sunday morning at Richard and Barbie Pierce's house, which is not that far away from, was not that far away from here. And at one point during the afternoon out in the garden, Lynette discovered that the diamond in one of her rings had disappeared and was clearly lost in that grass or garden. And that was pretty significant. I got quite upset about that and I prayed about that. And I submit I found it difficult to believe that God would enable us to find that. But Jodie, their youngest daughter, came back from something and came in and said, "What are you all doing?" And because we're all staring at the ground, she said, we said that, yeah, the Lynette's diamond from her ring has disappeared. And she said, "Oh, there it is." She just found it almost instantly. Is that the way it was, Lynette? Do you remember?
It wasn't a diamond, but yeah.
What was it? It wasn't a diamond. Okay.
She wished it was a diamond.
So, now the reason I'm telling that story is.
So your cubic zirconium was.
All right. I may have thought it was a diamond. But God, if we genuinely ask God, I believe that there are times, even when it's relatively selfish things, that he will answer that prayer. Moving on to, I think I've got next here, praying in Jesus' name. Let's make a few quick points about that. Jesus said, "Ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, I think we often end that our prayers with that without thinking about its significance much. We should be doing this to glorify God. It's all about the glory to God. It's acknowledging that God has given Christ authority in heaven and on earth, and so he can direct the angels to make things possible and so on. But it's not meant to be a magic formula to get what we want, so I think we should be wise in our use of that. We should ask for what we are confident that Christ would want for us. Personally, I think it's often a bad thing to just tack it on at the end as though it's something you automatically say. I think it'd be better at the beginning for us to think about our need to be aware of Christ's will. And we should be aware that this isn't simply because only those who can pray in Jesus' name because they're part of his family can pray, because we know that Cornelius's prayers were answered before he was converted, and so much so that the Apostle Peter was sent to talk to him. So I believe that we all should be learning prayer from the very youngest age, because we learn to pray by praying, and therefore it's best to prepare our young children to learn to trust in God and ask for help. Let's go into the negatives. What hinders our prayers? And we've had a couple of these things already touched on. And I've got a list, I think, of about 11 things that biblically are listed as hindering prayer.
Wrath.
Pardon?
Wrath.
Wrath. Okay. Specifically, where does it say that?
Well, I'm sort of more of generally thinking about if you're angry with other people, your prayers won't hurt.
Yep. If you can't forgive, then God will not forgive you, and that tends to make it less likely that he will answer your prayers. Yep. What else?
You pray that the wrath will be removed and that you could flip it around to an angry.
You could. Ben,
husbands not dwelling with their wives in an understanding
way. If you don't relate to your wife properly, your prayers will not be answered. It's a very specific statement in Peter, 1 Peter 3:7. What else?
When the law says you can't pray.
That's a tricky one.
What's that? That guy that got put into the lion's den wasn't like allowed to play.
When the law of the land tells me not to pray, like Daniel in the lion's den, he was praying.
He did pray.
Yeah.
So, there have been people actually in Britain who were charged for committing a crime for having prayed outside an abortion clinic. I think they've reversed that decision now, and that went back on appeal. But there are times when the law will tell us we shouldn't pray.
We don't feel we're worthy enough for God to hear our prayer.
Okay, that's an interesting one. Got a verse for that one?
Well, it's sort of like blaspheming of the Holy Spirit in some respects. We don't feel we deserve God's forgiveness, so we can't ask for it.
Okay. I guess if in that situation you don't think you can pray in Christ's name, then I guess that's not a good time. Yep.
Just thinking about, in Jesus' name, I quite like through Jesus' name, because actually only through Jesus that you have any hope at all, whether you're in or out of it. if it's not through Jesus' name, whose name will it be through?
Yeah, we have.
So I quite like to do through Jesus' name. But pride hinders our prayer.
Pride, specifically quoted in Scripture as God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So if we're not humble, it's likely that our prayers will not be answered. Ben?
When you're like the Pharisee that prays to himself.
Yep. Hypocrisy. This people honours me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching doctrines as doctrines the commandments of men. So if you're a hypocrite, God won't answer your prayers.
laziness?
In what sense?
Like, can't be bothered. You know?
Can't be bothered praying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Prayerlessness is one specific thing that the Bible says. Yeah, that you will not receive anything if you're apathetic about him. And also if you're disinterested in his word. Right? If one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. If you're not interested in what God is saying to you, he's not interested in what you want to say to him. Any others? Some are a bit scary.
Bargaining with God. If you do this to me, I'll do this to you.
Oh, there's been a few people that do that with God. Abraham, I think, was doing that and came out of it quite well, I think.
Moses.
Moses did too. So I'm looking for things that I can clearly give a quote to confirm it's right.
We've got James 4, verse 3.
I'm sure I have. That's the top one. That's the top of my list. Do you want to read that for us? Yep.
Because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures.
Yes. If you're just being self-indulgent, if your motives aren't right, then God does not feel obliged to answer your prayer.
Back up one to that one is actually Matthew chapter 20, verse 21, where the mother of, I can't remember the names now, but asks for her sons to sit at the right and the left hand, and petition the prayer to Jesus himself to have a high position.
Yeah.
It's a foolish thing to ask for.
Well, and they didn't really comprehend what was involved in that one either. So I think we've probably covered lack of faith. That's in lots of places, and we probably don't need to go over that one. Yeah.
What about humility?
Humility, I think we had someone say that one. Yeah, so that was the pride. If you're full of pride, so God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble.
Other people mocking?
Or just general sinful attitudes and behaviours. In fact, even if you refuse to help the poor, God won't answer your prayers. That's in in Proverbs 21, verse 3. Whoever closes his ears to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered.
Could the Lord Jesus even hinder our prayers? Could he not put our prayers forward if it's something that's not prayer worthy? I'm thinking of Peter here.
Which
shall not happen surely to you, pray, Lord, that shall not happen. And he says, get thee.
True. Unfortunately, Jesus was praying for him at that difficult stage of his life.
Isaiah 59, it says, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. His sins have hidden his face from you so that you're not heard.
That's a significant one. If we do not address the sins within us and haven't repented from those, then God won't listen to us. I think we've covered all 11, to be honest. So, and one verse that comes up in one of the songs we sing quite often, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Let's make a little beginning on the next slide and see how far we get. Yeah, this should be quick, but not too rushed. Okay. I want you to think practically about what we should pray regularly for. Yep. There's some that are very clearly encouraged in Scripture, so that makes it really clear.
Washing.
Pardon? Washing. For those who have gone away and, praying that God work in their lives to bring them back.
The peace of Jerusalem.
Yep. There's a lot of people praying for that now.
Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters in our own ecclesias and
unity in that. Yeah. I won't do a show of hands, but do you pray regularly for your ecclesia? I pray regularly for your ecclesia. Have done for, I think, the last 15 years at least. Because I've appreciated so much what you've done for me in the past. So, yeah, praying for your ecclesia, for other ecclesias. What else?
Praying for
forgiveness. We're always going to need that one.
Thankfulness,
always giving thanks for what God's done for us. Yep. There are some practical things. They can be ordinary things. They don't have to be bad, really super spiritual things.
Safe travel of people.
Yep. Protection is something King David asked for a great deal.
Our children.
Yep. I think it's something we should pray daily for. Now, some of you don't have children yet, but when you have children, how about thinking of doing that first thing in the morning, pray for your children for that day?
Those who are struggling or are sick.
Yep. When we become specifically aware of those in need, then there. One important thing, too many people say, yes, I'm going to pray for you, and then forget all about it. I think it's really important. If you say you're going to pray for someone, that you genuinely do so.
Jade prayed for his children that they would sin. So actually pray for people that they don't fall into sin.
Jesus did that with Peter. He was very concerned for his disciples at that stage and prayed for them because he knew that there was a risk that they would all stay away from him once he had been taken by the chief priests. So, yeah, he prayed because he cared about them.
For our unbelief.
Yes, yeah, we all need to pray when we struggle with our unbelief.
Strength to fight the battle, and I use that metaphorically.
Yep, in other words, spiritual strength, spiritual growth. Do you pray for spiritual growth in your own life? And do you pray for that for your ecclesia? Do you pray for your understanding of God's word as you read it? I think we should pray to ask God to help us to be effective in our service to him. Pray for the growth of our ecclesia, both in numbers and in spiritual growth. Deal with any specific problems that you know of. If someone's marriage is struggling, we should pray for them. How often do you pray for your leaders and teachers? It's important to pray for them. You want God's guidance for them. And so on. There's just many, many things that are really genuine ongoing needs that we should make a habit of praying for. And I'm not trying to tell you how to do it all, but I just want you to keep in mind that regular prayer is really important. It's the things that we continue to pray for that actually define who we become.
David, just as a technique, it's not a bad idea to actually have a little list in your pocket or in your wallet or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a paper.
Absolutely.
Memories aren't all that good, as you well know.
There are some people who actually keep a book of the prayers that they've asked God for and record when an answer is received. And sometimes that can be very helpful when you have a time where it seems like God's not answering your prayers, and you can look back on the past and look at very specific answers from God. So there are lots of things that should really be a regular part. I suppose one thing we haven't mentioned is our partners, husbands and wives, should pray for each other. And these things ought to be something that we do regularly as a consistent thing. I should give you a little warning. It can be quite dangerous to ask for spiritual growth. Why might that be?
Because then you're putting yourself in trials.
It very much can be so, yes. And the normal way of learning is that God brings us into difficulties and shows us what's wrong with us. And so very often asking for spiritual growth leads to pain. Anybody else found that? Because I've certainly done so. A few smiles, but no one's putting their hand up. Yes. Am I the only one?
The quote says, "Be not many masters."
Yeah.
There's a double responsibility for those who want to take those sort of roles.
Yep. I believe our prayers should be specific. So, Gideon was specific. Tonight I want the fleece wet and the ground around it dry. Next night, I want the reverse. God, just show me that I can trust you. He was very specific. Abraham's servant was very specific, asking about guidance about how to find the wife for Isaac. He even says, if the wife says, yes, and I'll get some water for your camels too, then I'll know she's the right one. And it happened. Being specific is very important in prayer. When we ask God to bless someone, that's very vague. Don't say, God bless them. Say what they need, right? And don't just say, well, I want you to bless them. Give a reason, a benefit. What's the outcome that you really want so that you are specific? For instance, Paul had what I call the so that prayers. So here's some of them, and this is why it's going to be really quick. Ephesians 1:17, so that you may know him better. Ephesians 3, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. These are all prayers for the people he loves. Philippians, so that you may be able to discern what is best. Colossians, so that you may have great endurance and patience. 1 Thessalonians, so that you will be blameless and holy. 2 Thessalonians, so that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. So he's asking for a blessing for people, but it's always got a very specific outcome that he wants for them that is beneficial in throughout eternity. General prayers show that we don't have any clear urgent need weighing on our hearts. So it's worth us being very clear about what it is that we want for people that is going to be something that God wants to bless them with. And thank you for all your contributions tonight.